All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I'm Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. February 17, 2026. Beautiful day here up on the East Coast. Hope it's great wherever you were at. Drying out from our deluge of rain we had the other day. Very good. Washed away all that salt and dirt. Feels fresh and clean. Still cold, but, you know, it's beautiful. It is Tuesday. Thought I would come upstairs, see if we can do a podcast. Got a little out of the schedule this morning. Coming out of the weekend, I don't know. Procrastination's still a thing. It comes at me. You know, yesterday I'm like, well, I'm not going to go to the gym today. It's Monday. I'll go on Tuesday. Tuesday's the day I go. And of course, Tuesday comes along, and I did not make it. Funny thing is, I don't know if I talked about, I started taking a digestive enzyme pill because I saw it on Instagram. Fucking idiot. But I saw this pill, and this guy was talking about, you know, people that have had their gallbladder out. And I've had my gallbladder out, and yeah, for some reason, I just really started struggling with belly fat and all this weird shit. And this is not a sponsorship. This is just shit I'm doing. And I started taking, I won't even say the name. That way it's, you know, it's not a commercial. But, well, and I also don't want to recommend something that I don't know if it would work for everybody. But I started taking this digestive enzyme. I think the company is Redfern. If you struggle with belly fat and you've had your gallbladder out, look at this. I think it's Redfern is the company. Research it. Look into it. You know, don't listen to me. But I watched this guy on Instagram talk about it, and, you know, what he said made sense. So I ordered these. They're just digestive enzyme pills. There's no, you know, there's nothing that makes you speed up. There's no diuretics in it. It's just to help you digest food. Because I get so bloated and uncomfortable. And, you know, of course, I join the gym, and I'm running, and I'm paddling, and I'm doing all this shit to try to, you know, basically manage this 12 by 12 circular area on the front of my body. And the reality is, it's just, I started taking this enzyme pill, and I started feeling a lot better. I just take one pill before I eat, and it's a capsule, and, you know, I don't know what's in it, but somebody should do the research. But, man, it's been it's a game changer for me. And I haven't felt so bloated, and, you know, I don't feel like this morning. I feel pretty good. I'm like, I don't really feel like going to the gym, and I would prefer not to, to be honest. I mean, I do enjoy it. I don't want to lose muscle, but it's not my favorite thing to do. So whatever mental gymnastic I played this morning, I did not make the gym. I hung out and played my video game, Star Citizen, and you know, and then had some coffee, and now I'm sort of in this place where I got to figure out what to kill some time, right?
Oh,
awesome. Yeah, so anyway, I went to the meeting yesterday, my Monday noon meeting, not mine, but the meeting I attend, and it was fantastic. I've shared before, I do enjoy a good literature meeting. I recommend, but I do think if you're, you know, if you're like me, most of us, you know, we don't sit around reading the big book. I don't. And if I did, it was probably because I was in a jam or a pickle. You know, that's usually when I dig into my journals and books is when shit has hit the fan. And so it's usually coming from a different side of the heart, maybe more from the head. And so I do enjoy going to meetings with, like, you know, big book. I try to hit a big book meeting. I hit a step meeting, and I hit an As Bill Sees It. And between the three of those, I get quite a bit of, you know, literature reading, and I appreciate it, even though I've read most of it multiple times, especially the 12 and 12 and the big book. Not as much the stories, but definitely, you know, the first, what is it, 68 pages or whatever. And As Bill Sees It, you know, through the years, just always reading that and enjoying it. But the Monday meeting I go to is a big book meeting. And of course, I've been sharing in this podcast, we're sort of chiseling away through it. This week, we started the Agnostics. I think it's page 40. And, you know, one of the, you know, God, believing in God, why I believe in God, the motivation to believe in God, what is God, right? What is higher power? What is spiritual awakening? What is God of my understanding? All of this really used to sort of fall into the basket of religion. Oh, that's religion. That's church. That I am not interested in. That was probably my position early on in recovery. In fact, I know that was my position only because it had, I'd asked too much, far too much from church and religion, way too many expectations and got nothing. And like a good self-centered asshole, I was like, well, then screw you. And I turned my back. But I never really turned my back. They never really got my full attention. How can I say that I gave a relationship with a higher power a fair chance if it was all self-seeking and self-centered? You just can't. You can't do it. It's like swimming up a river. You're just not going to get anywhere. And, you know, to me, and these are my philosophy, this is just my opinion. Take it for whatever you want. Believe whatever you want. Whatever keeps you in the right space, it's good. But, you know, I remember coming into the program and hearing higher power, and I thought, well, that's God. And I've heard spiritual awakening, and I'm like, well, that means I just woke up and now I'm having a relationship with God. Clearly, we've heard God. It wasn't until, and I, you know, I don't know how many times I've shared this, but it wasn't until I started to understand the third step. To me, the third step, because even the first step, right, we admit we're powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable, right? That seems very obvious on the outside, but digging deeper into that phrase or sentence or whatever it is, that has changed for me over the years. Number two, came to believe in a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity, a power greater than ourselves. I don't think that means God. I mean, it's spiritual. It's you know, surrender, which I think in the end turns out to be the whole umbrella under God. But, you know, came to believe that a power, I'm thinking God's going to fix this with that phrase, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore sanity. And then three, turned our will and our lives over the care of a God of our understanding. Understanding is the word I put the underlines under. Because, you know, and I've shared it before, I'll share it again, right? I've always had an understanding of what your God was like, or what his God is like, or what her God is like. And I've always taken all that information and visually what I've seen, you know, in a church, on TV, you know, hands in the air, hallelujahs. And I thought, well, that must be what God looks like. That must be what a relationship with God is. But I just didn't have it in me. I may not have been the greatest person in the world, but I was definitely always honest. I was authentic, right? I was never fake. I was what I was. And when I changed, I became what I am today, and I'm proud of it. I never acted like I was one thing and was something else. And, you know, the fact is I couldn't pull it off and I just gave up. But the third step, for me, the third step really, and I didn't start getting this until about 12 years into being in recovery. And I had read the third step. I have talked about the third step. I have done the third step. I have done everything with the third step that one could do with the third step and had no clue until about 12 or 13 years. I don't even know if that number's right, but it was a large chunk of time prior to my last drink to the point where I started to understand of a God of my understanding. And it just changed everything. It changed everything for me, you know? Letting go of what I think God is, letting go of what I think God's purpose is, letting go of what I think a higher power is, and starting to make better choices, right? It's all, you know, the third step, the fourth step, the fifth step, the sixth and seventh, eighth and ninth, it's all, you know, it all helps figure it out, right? But the third step says basically, if I make better choices, honest, surrendering, you know, no bullshit, good choices, and it starts to reflect in my life, I start to be introduced to something like called peace and love and to be free of fear. And, you know, one of the things that I'm starting to understand is that I had become so calloused and so used to this existence of living in fear. You know, there's a lot of other words that we could throw at it, but when it all boils down, what drips out is fear. And whether it's, you know, not showing up for work, not being honest, getting a job, you know, what drinking, drugging, lying, you know, I'm sure that this guy that's missing for 2 days, if he's not dead, he is probably fearful. Because that's the first thing that goes. And it's the first thing that comes back. Because fear is self. Self is dark and self is, to me, the devil or that prideful lower power, which might work for some people at some point, but it just never ever seemed, well, I don't, you know, that's the other thing, trying to understand my, you know, my perspective, you know, doing what I did, there was a lot of things about my, you know, dark side that got me a lot of things, right? And I shouldn't say dark side, but you know, that selfish side. Had a lot of fun back in the day, but when it ran out, it ran out. Had to give it up. But that is, you know, starting to understand when better choices are made and, you know, and like I always tell, you know, anybody that's new, coming to this meeting was a third step, right? Getting coffee after this meeting instead of going to the bars is a third step, right? It's always a third step. You know, that's what ends up being my problem is I make bad choices. And due to the bad choices, I live with fear and worry. And I don't want to live like that. My God. So it's a, you know, that third step was the beginning of understanding to me what a relationship with the higher power is and what a relationship with peace is. And, you know, I've said this till I'm blue in the face. To me, God is just peace, love, and free of fear. That's, it's a byproduct. It's what's left over after living the 12 steps of this program, honestly, and, you know, with accountability and honesty and all that stuff, right? Honestly, I don't even really do that perfectly. It's very difficult to be perfect at these. I'm not even sure I'm capable, but I try my best, right? And yes, I probably live a good portion of my life not in fear, not of worry. You know, I got into, you know, I probably most of my fear and worry comes from like the internet, you know, Instagram or Facebook. You know, my wife bought me this cup. Greatest husband ever. You know, it's funny. It's totally a funny Donald Trump cup. And of course, one of the people I grew up with in New Mexico, you know, had to go in there and start bad mouthing me. Good friend of mine, right? Good friend. But this person is so, you know, stricken with the syndrome that she now has not become my friend and is willing to badmouth me. You know, and I've of course said, you know, go fuck yourself. Right. Well, there's my little bit of fear and worry and bad behavior. That's usually where my, you know, challenges, pitfalls lie, is within the internet, because, you know, there is no, you don't have to look them in the face. You can just type it. And I really, really, really try to restrain from pen and tongue, but I'm sort of in this week-long moment of, I'm just tired of feeling bad that I love what our country's doing. I'm tired of feeling shame and guilt because most of the loudmouths on the computer or wherever they are don't like, and the worst part about it has nothing to do with this situation that's going on. This is a bigger picture, but the point is that that's where my troubles are. You know, I won't have any other troubles. You know, I did do a lady's hair the other day who came in and was like, "This is what I, you know, I'm thinking about this," and I'd been doing her hair for fucking 10 years. And I did her hair, and she didn't want to really be blonde, and she wanted to be darker, but she didn't, you know, I'm like, you know, I can't make you too dark, because then your roots would be too light, and, you know, this is just shit I deal with. And I did her hair, and it looked beautiful, and she's like, "I just don't know if it's dark enough." And I got a little bit arrogant. I was inconvenienced big time. You know, when I do, you know, whatever it is, the job you do in your world, you know, you do it, and you go through the process, and you get it done, and then, you know, someone says, "Well, maybe just a little more off or a little bit darker." And you're like, "God damn it." And of course, I'm like, "Fine." And I went and grabbed some toner and I darkened it up. Wouldn't be what I wanted to do, but I was, you know, I was getting annoyed. And then she sends me a picture yesterday. Because she's not happy with her hair. I don't blame her. I'm not happy with her hair either. But she sends me a picture of, "This is what I was hoping for." And I'm like, "Why didn't you send me the picture the first time?" You know, she made me guess, and then this is what ends up happening. But, you know, I could have said, "Hey, listen, this isn't enough information. I feel like this is not heading in the right direction." So I still could be accountable. But there's some challenging moments in there. So I'm not perfect. But it really started at that third step. And then, you know, so when... And this is just me sort of having fun with this. But to me, a higher power is, you know, the ability to be kind, right? To be humble, to have grace. Right? If you're not, if a person is not capable of that, I find them weak. Weak. If you get into a situation, or if I get into a situation and I cannot restrain my mouth, when things go wrong, I consider that a weakness, a character weakness, a fault. And we learn through the steps, this is unacceptable, and we become better. And when situations come up, we've learned to, you know, manage it, and we become stronger. We become a higher power. You know, we're not superpowers, but I do believe it is a higher power to be better, right? Because what else could it be? A higher power. But, you know, to me, and that's the other thing, when it comes to God, you know, I decide how much power I want, right? You know, and when I do decide, it's not even, it's, you know, it's by association, I guess. I don't even know how to explain it. But, you know, it's not like I have a higher power that's using this power on me. You know, I've been taught what is right, what is wrong. If I choose to make that choice, I benefit from it. I find the peace, the love, free of fear, right? I'm sitting in the hands of God. I am deciding, right? God's like, "All right, you're doing a bad job. I'm going to put the rails up and I'm going to guide you and put you." And that doesn't work. You know, this is not, we're not sheep. I think it might say we are, but we're not. I'm not a sheep. You know, I decide. I decide how happy I want to be. I decide how much peace I want to be. I decide how much fear I want to exist in. That's a higher power to me. Now, could be wrong. I don't know. But, you know, and a spiritual awakening to me is when I waken up and realize that I'm in a spiritual, you know, like my friend Libby used to say, I'm a spiritual being having a human experience that involves alcohol. You know, I have to understand that these are spirits. You know, a spiritual awakening isn't this awakening that all of a sudden there's a God. It's an awakening for me that I'm dealing with a lot of different things, multifaceted spiritual experience. And certain spirits do what, certain things. Right? Inconvenience creates arrogance. The biggest one I manage on a daily basis, inconvenience and arrogance. Those are spirits for me. I've been awoken. You know, those are spiritual things, and I have to, you know, manage them and be aware of them. But, you know, it's just, I've shared before that I'm, you know, I'm guilty of trying to have a relationship with God because I wanted God to fix things, save me from things, provide me things that I was too lazy to work for, you know, bridge the gaps in my life where because of my self-centeredness, I was missing out on a lot of different things. You know, I wanted to get to the front of the line without doing any of the work. And that is just all selfish and could not have a relationship with God. And today I have a relationship with God, but it's not the kind of God that I thought. It's, you know, I'm not going to say it's, you know, it let me down, but the reality is that God isn't a fixer, at least for me. God isn't going to fix everything. God isn't going to make miracles for me. You know, God makes me, or God allows me to be the person that when a situation comes up, that I can handle it, regardless of whatever it is. I don't have to be the victim. I don't have to play the blame game. You know, today, you know, I know what not to do to get into situations, but if I'm still dumb enough to get into the situation, the first thing I know what to do is to be accountable and recognize the role that I played. It's just, you know, when I was talking to M1 the other day and he was talking about, you know, this person he is that's in his life and this person, you know, was, I guess they were going to watch a movie and he was going to watch a movie or picked a movie and M1's like, well, I was thinking maybe we could watch this movie. And the person was like, nah, we're going to watch this movie. And M1 got his feelings hurt and was a little annoyed. And I thought it was a great example. And I said, you know, really, you know, because after we chat about it, we realize, you know, self and all that stuff. And I said, you know, that's a seventh step. You know, that's a shortcoming because it's a character defect that nobody sees except for you and God. And I said, you know, what you should do is you should apologize to that person. He's like, you know, because the person doesn't even know that he was mad, right? This is all secret, private, right? You know, you get annoyed at somebody, you just say, fine, whatever, and you just move on with your day. But I told him you should go back and apologize to him to tell him that you're sorry that you were so upset at him, even though he has no idea of the severity of the depth of the you know infraction, and I don't think he's going to. But it is, you know, it is because in the end, right, we do want peace. That is the greatest thing about the relationship with God that I have today is the peace. And it can come from all different directions and all different levels. But some shit just happens and nobody even knows about. And but that would take a lot, right? That would be, you'd have to be find a lot of grace and humility to go make an amends to somebody that you were mad at that they never even knew it. Right. Well, and he, you know, one of the other things he got annoyed about was a guy that is in his life. I'm not going to keep it very vague, but the guy had made this comment to him, and he hadn't understood that there was already an agreement made. It was sort of with work, I guess. And, you know, he was told he could be there at a certain time. This other guy that worked came in at another certain time, and when he was leaving one day, M1, the guy said, oh, someone's cutting out early, right? And you know, M1 got annoyed about that, and that was part of a four-step we were working on. And I said, you should probably go apologize to him because you got mad at him. And he's like, really? And I go, I don't know. Maybe not, but it is funny how much you know, stress and anguish we can get into and nobody even knows. I don't know if I ever shared one day I was driving down the highway, just cruising, right? No big deal, not speeding, not going too slow to the right. And, you know, just driving amongst cars, right? And next thing I know, a guy pulls up next to me and he is like honking and shaking his fist and really like flipping me the bird and really letting me have it. And I'm like, my God, what did I even do? I was completely unaware of what was going on. And this guy was having a complete meltdown. And anyway. All right. Well, that's what's going on. We agnostics, I think it's a great chapter. Early recovery, I was always concerned if I had had the spiritual awakening, if I had a higher power. And through the steps, especially the third step, first one, two, three really are the foundation for building a relationship with God and a higher power, or building a higher power and, you know, all that great stuff. All right, I'm going to read the daily reflections and then I'm going to go to work. Go to work. All right, here we go. The love. Excuse me. It's early. Apologize. The love in their. I need a mute switch, is what I need. The love in their eyes. February 17th. Some of us won't believe in God. Others can't. And still others who do believe that God exists have no faith, whatever. He will perform this miracle. It's 12 steps, 12 traditions, page 25. It was the changes I saw in the new people who came into the fellowship that helped me lose my fear and change my negative attitude to a positive one. I could see the love in their eyes, and I was impressed by how much their one-day-at-a-time sobriety meant to them. They had looked squarely at step two and came to believe that a power greater than themselves could restore them to sanity. That gave me faith in the fellowship and hope that it could work for me too. I found that God was a loving God, not a punishing God. I feared before coming to AA. I also found that he had been with me during all those times I had been in trouble before I came to AA. I know today that he was the one that led me and that I am a miracle. That's right. But, you know, and I agree, you know, the step two came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. I do believe that. But I also believe that a lot of that is built on the back of the third step. When we start making better choices and we start using our making better decisions and actions, and we don't start creating fearful situations, right? And we start to leave that behind, it starts to become peaceful. And I think that's where we start to understand. That's where I started to understand what God was. And of course, peace, love, and free of fear. All right, well, listen, I appreciate you letting me share. Have a great day. Bye-bye.